Today is the 8th day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's great to be here with you today around the global campfire for another little while. Another opportunity to step into the oasis of peace that we create here every day. Take another step forward in the scriptures together like we do every day. And express gratitude like we do most every day. It is really great to be here with you. Really grateful that we have a chance to take the next step forward. And we're working our way now through the book of Jeremiah. And so let us take the next step forward. Jeremiah chapters 10 and 11 today. Hear what the Lord says to you, people of Israel. This is what the Lord says. Do not learn the ways of the nations, or be terrified by signs in the heavens, though the nations are terrified by them. For the practices of the peoples are worthless. They cut a tree out of the forest, and a craftsman shapes it with his chisel. They adorn it with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammer and nails so it will not totter. Like a scarecrow in a cucumber field, their idols cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot walk. Do not fear them. They can do no harm, nor can they do any good. No one is like you, Lord. You are great. And your name is mighty in power. Who should not fear you, King of the nations? This is your due. Among all the wise leaders of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is no one like you. They are all senseless and foolish. They are taught by worthless wooden idols. Hammered silver is brought from Tarshish and gold from Uphaz. What the craftsman and goldsmith have made is then dressed in blue and purple, all made by skilled workers. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, the eternal King. When he is angry, the earth trembles. The nations cannot endure his wrath. Tell them this. These gods who did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. But God made the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding. When he thunders, the waters in the heavens roar. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Everyone is senseless and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is shamed by his idols. The images he makes are a fraud. They have no breath in them. They are worthless, the objects of mockery. When their judgment comes, they will perish. He who is the portion of Jacob is not like these, for he is the maker of all things, including Israel, the people of his inheritance. The Lord Almighty is his name. Gather up your belongings to leave the land, you who live under siege. For this is what the Lord says. At this time I will hurl out those who live in this land. I will bring distress on them so that they may be captured. Woe to me because of my injury. My wound is incurable. Yet I said to myself, this is my sickness and I must endure it. My tent is destroyed. All its ropes are snapped. My children are gone from me and are no more. No one is left now to pitch my tent or to set up my shelter. The shepherds are senseless and do not inquire of the Lord, so they do not prosper and all their flock is scattered. Listen, a report is coming, a great commotion from the land of the north. It will make the towns of Judah desolate, a haunt of jackals. Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps. Discipline me, Lord, but only in due measure, not in your anger, or you will reduce me to nothing. Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not acknowledge you, on the peoples who do not call on your name, for they have devoured Jacob. They have devoured him completely and destroyed his homeland. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Listen to the terms of this covenant and tell them to the people of Judah and to those who live in Jerusalem. Tell them that this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Cursed is the one who does not obey the terms of this covenant, the terms I commanded your ancestors when I brought them out of Egypt, out of the iron smelting furnace. I said, obey me and do everything I command you, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. Then I will fulfill the oath I swore to your ancestors, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, the land you possess today. I answered, amen, Lord. The Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Listen to the terms of this covenant and follow them. From the time I brought your ancestors up from Egypt until today, I warned them again and again, saying, obey me. But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubbornness of their evil hearts. So I brought on them all the curses of the covenant I had commanded them to follow, but that they did not keep. And the Lord said to me, there is a conspiracy among the people of Judah and those who live in Jerusalem. They have returned to the sins of their ancestors, who refused to listen to my words. They have followed other gods to serve them. Both Israel and Judah have broken the covenant I made with their ancestors. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I will bring on them a disaster they cannot escape. Although they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. The towns of Judah and the people of Jerusalem will go and cry out to the gods to whom they burn incense, but they will not help them at all when disaster strikes. You, Judah, have as many gods as you have towns, and the altars you have set up to burn incense to that shameful god Baal are as many as the streets of Jerusalem. Do not pray for this people, or offer any plea or petition for them, because I will not listen when they call to me in the time of their distress. What is my beloved doing in my temple, as she, with many others, works out her evil schemes? Can consecrated meat avert your punishments? When you engage in your wickedness, then you rejoice. The Lord called you a thriving olive tree with fruit beautiful in form. But with the roar of a mighty storm, he will set it on fire and its branches will be broken. The Lord Almighty, who planted you, has decreed disaster for you because the people of both Israel and Judah have done evil and aroused my anger by burning incense to Baal. Because the Lord revealed their plot to me, I knew it, for at that time he showed me what they were doing. I had been like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not realize that they had plotted against me, saying, "Let us destroy the tree and its fruits. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more." But you, Lord Almighty, who judge righteously and test the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have committed my cause. Therefore, this is what the Lord says about the people of Anathoth, who are threatening to kill you, saying, "Do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, or you will die by our hands." Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty says: I will punish them. Their young men will die by the sword, their sons and daughters by famine. Not even a remnant will be left to them, because I will bring disaster on the people of Anathoth in the year of their punishment. Colossians 3:18 through 4:18. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greeting, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Psalm 78, 56 through 72. But they put God to the test and rebelled against the Most High. They did not keep his statutes. Like their ancestors, they were disloyal and faithless, as unreliable as a faulty bow. They angered him with their high places. They aroused his jealousy with their idols. When God heard them, he was furious. He rejected Israel completely. He abandoned the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had set up among humans. He sent the ark of his might into captivity, his splendor into the hands of the enemy. He gave his people over to the sword. He was furious with his inheritance. Fire consumed their young men, and their young women had no wedding songs. Their priests were put to the sword, and their widows could not weep. Then the Lord awoke as from sleep, as a warrior wakes from the stupor of wine. He beat back his enemies. He put them to everlasting shame. Then he rejected the tents of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. He built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth that he established forever. He chose David his servant and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people Jacob, of Israel his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hands. He led them. Proverbs 24, 28 and 29. Do not testify against your neighbor without cause. Would you use your lips to mislead? Do not say, I'll do to them as they have done to me. I'll pay them back for what they did. So idolatry, like that is a word all throughout the scriptures. And it has kind of an ominous overtone. Like we encounter it all of the time as we move through, especially the Old Testament, but all throughout the Bible. We have read stories about it. We have listened to the continual condemnation of it. And we've also watched the implications, the repercussions, the consequences of it. But now that we're in the prophets, like, there's no escaping it. So that can seem a little bit antiquated to us because we're normally not thinking about idolatry anymore. We're not really thinking about going and chopping down a tree and carving out, you know, the face of a god and then covering it with gold and dressing it up and nailing it down so that it can stand up and not fall over and then putting it somewhere in our house or in our backyard or on the picnic table or whatever, and going out and lighting incense to it and maybe sacrificing something and praying to it. We're not thinking of those things. So all of this idolatry, especially in the prophets, can seem just like we're out of touch with it. So let's just break it down a little bit. Like, let's get really simple. Idolatry, basically, at the core, is the worship of an idol. And so Jeremiah gives a really clear description of what that looked like in his time, right? What we were just saying. They cut down a tree and a craftsman carves an idol. They decorate it with gold and silver and fasten it securely with a hammer and nails so it won't fall over. Their gods are like helpless scarecrows in a cucumber field. They can't speak and they need to be carried because they can't walk. So we look at his description like that and go, okay, wow. Okay, good. I'm not doing that. I've never created anything like that. I would never even conceive of worshiping such a thing as that. The thing is, the issue isn't so much the physicality of the idol. It was what the expectation was to receive from the idol. The expectation that by making this idol, praying to this idol, sacrificing to this idol would reach to this God with an expectation that this God would bring life and blessing that the idol or the God would give if they were worshipped. And so with that in mind, idolatry is still ever present in this world. Because just about anything can be an idol. Like if we are expecting our lives to be sustained in some way outside of the relationship, if we are willing to reach outside the relationship we have with God to look for our needs to be met, and sustained outside the relationship. Well, how would that work in marriage? Right? We would understand it completely in that context. So in a spiritual sense, the covenantal relationship that we have with God, if we are reaching outside, turning to another, reaching for another to meet a need or to provide some kind of sustenance or bring some kind of expectation of life or excitement or whatever, then we have created an idol that cannot talk, cannot see, cannot walk, and expect it to bring us life. Something false to bring us fake intimacy or temporary relief or temporary prosperity that is ultimately breaking covenant. And idolatry, I mean, God hates being cheated on. So it makes sense, so do we. Idolatry isn't an issue, though, that makes God nervous about who he is and his own sovereignty. No matter what we worship, there really only is one God. But our worship of what is false is going to keep us from that one God. And so we will miss out on what our hearts are longing for. Relationship. Like steady, stable, safe, committed, loyal relationship. So if we're going to turn to what is false and step away from what is true, how heartbreaking. Especially knowing that that road will only destroy us and everything around us. And so, I mean, let's bring this personal. So, if you have a little child, let's say you have a 4-year-old. Think about that. You have a 4-year-old child, And one day, you're watching your sweet little boy or girl, and they inform you, they come to stand in front of you and say, "You are no longer my parents." Well, that would be hurtful, but it would also be troubling. And then, if we talked through it with them a little bit, but later found out that in their bedroom they have a stuffed animal, and it's kind of set up on their toy box, and they put new clothes on it, and they've stacked other stuffed animals around it, and it's kind of like this shrine in the closet. And they are saying to it, "You are my true parents." Probably most of us would not be okay with that. Like, that would be alarming on so many levels, but especially since we gave them all those toys, including the stuffed animal that they are declaring to be their true parents. So then if they stopped talking to us anymore, and they started carrying this stuffed animal around and only talking to it, believing that it would parent them. If we even got that far, at this point, we are calling mental health professionals, because something really, really, really wrong has happened. Something is really going wrong, and something happened. We would still actually be their true parent. There's nothing that can change that. Even though this child is giving their affection, their allegiance, their loyalty, their heart and love to something false, they would still be our child, created in our image. But our hearts would be very alarmed and broken for them. And we would do everything possible to rescue them from the distortion, to pull them back into relationship with us, so that we can nurture them and care for them and raise them. That is essentially God's position toward idolatry throughout the scriptures. So many times, constantly, God is saying, "Return to me. Come back to me." He pleads over and over, "Come back to me." Because walking the way you're going is going to not only breach our promises, but lead to your destruction. So idolatry is all over the place, and it may, in fact, be in our lives. And so let's think about it today. What are we turning to? What are we reaching for? Who are we reaching for? Where are we reaching, hoping for some kind of hit of life, something that feels alive, things that we're trusting in that have no power to save us, but have incredible power to destroy us? Because when we do this, we are committing betrayal on some level, and ultimately we're betraying our true source of life. That is not who we were made to be. It is actually foreign to whom we truly are. And as we will continue to see as we continue through the prophets, that will get us nowhere but destruction. And so, Father, there is no one like you. We declare that along with Jeremiah from our reading. There is no one like you. you are great. Your name is full of power. Who would not fear you, King of Nations? That title belongs to you and you alone. Among all of the wise people of the earth and in all the kingdoms of the world, there is no one like you. So Holy Spirit, come, where are we reaching? Where are we turning? How are we betraying the covenantal relationship that you have offered us and turning to false idols in some way, willing to bow the knee in worship in exchange for some kind of false promise of life? We repent of this. Where are we putting our trust? Lead us into all truth, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. Get connected. Stay connected as we take the journey together. I say it most every day as a reminder, but also as a welcome to those of you who have landed for the first time. Get connected. Stay connected. This is a journey that has gone on for a very, very long time now. And it's a day-by-day, step-by-step process that brings us into relationship with the scriptures and brings us into community together. So today, and I mentioned this for the last couple of days, today is a travel day. So this afternoon, we will be heading out and crossing, well, a lot of hips and hops until we get to where we're going, which our first destination, where we actually are on the ground, will be in Turkey, and we'll be landing in Istanbul tomorrow. I'm looking at, if I got this right, it's going to be like, I don't even want to say it out loud, I think 16 hours. And so pray for us. Those legs, we've been all over the world for so long. Those kind of long legs and then landing in the place, they're like, there's a ton of adrenaline to it, but there's an incredible amount of fatigue to it, where the kind of circadian rhythms are just a little messed up. And so you're exhausted, but you can't sleep. And then you really shouldn't be exhausted, but you can't stay awake. So looking forward to everything, probably except for that. So help pray us through that. And we will get in and get some rest. And the plan is, as soon as we possibly can, to just kind of set up. We got a little mobile studio that we're going to travel with. It's a very, very aggressive trip. What we're doing, if you're kind of like, what? What's going on here? Is a lot of things. It's a prototype. It's a collection of a lot of video and photography for our journey through the Bible as we move into the new app. And it's an experience to be able to better teach, better bring correct accountings of the places that are in the Bible. And at this point, we're focusing heavily on the New Testament after the Gospels, and so the ancient Roman Empire and the writings of Paul and the writings of John and the book of Acts and the spreading out of the early church. And so we are in one fell swoop trying to visit all of the places that are named in the New Testament after the Gospels. There are a handful that are in countries that, like, that we wouldn't go into right now for safety reasons. Like Damascus is in Syria. And so we're not going to go in there. And then there are some places like Tarsus, where Paul was from, that is in Lebanon right now. And we're not going to go in there. but throughout the rest of the Roman Empire. So I'd say, 95% of the places mentioned in the New Testament. We're going to see them. I mean, some of them are like very, very well preserved, well kept. Archaeological sites that are very much how things were in the New Testament. Some of them are tells or hills that are just being excavated or at least identified. We're going to see them, and you're coming. And so I hope you got your sleeping mask too, and I hope you can handle the jet lag too. But it's all aboard. Everybody jump in the suitcase because we're heading out today. And as soon as we can kind of get our bearings, these are places we've never been. I have never been to any of these places. That's why it's a bit of a prototype. We have been taking tours to Israel for a very, very long time now. And each year I would stay over for like another week and keep our guide and just go to all kinds of obscure places and really investigate the land of the Bible and all of the places. And that became the Promised Land films. But also really gave me the lay of the land to design and build a trip that's comprehensive, that's unique. And Daily Audio Bible has a very, very, surprisingly very in-demand trip to Israel because of that. Because it's like there is no geographical area. It's not just a tourist loop. We're really going to see everything that can be seen in that amount of time. That is kind of the long-term intention here, is to design the same kind of trip around the Book of Acts and the early church and the writings of Paul, and really make a more comprehensive New Testament journey while collecting all of that, the video and photography content to incorporate into our journey as we go through the Bible. And so we are ready. Kind of last minute check through checklists, making sure it's not easy to run to a Target when you're in a country that doesn't have a Target. So making sure we got everything. I want to thank you for your prayers. We'll be heading out today. And like I said, as soon as we kind of get our bearings, then Jill and I will be kind of sharing our experiences from each day at the end of Chronological and the end of Daily Audio Bible. I'm bringing you into it. And we will be posting, obviously, all along the way. And so if you aren't following us on social media on any of the platforms, now's a good time to follow along with this trip, because we'll be posting as things happen. But more than anything, yes, be on this trip with us in spirit, and yes, enjoy the pictures, and yes, enjoy the experiences, but pray for us. This is a community of prayer. The prayers of God's people have sustained this ministry and sustained our lives for a long time now. And so I know I can count on that. But asking isn't too much. So pray for us. Thank you for that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, Dab family. This is Lynn, who loves the Lord, calling to thank and praise our God for answered prayer. My 3-year-old grandson's tummy trouble issues seem to have resolved after several months of difficulties. His improvements came just after a few days after my prayer request aired on here. So I'm praising God and thanking people for their prayers. I want to specifically thank Kay from Ohio. Girl, you speak the truth in love every time you come on. I just say, you go, girl. And I want to also thank that faithful good morning guy, as I call him, Anonymous from California, and also a woman named Jen who prayed for my family. I really appreciate all who have prayed behind the scenes. It's very uplifting to hear others pray for your family members. I'm asking for continued prayers for my granddaughter for healing, the one who's struggling with anxiety and pulling on her hair. So please keep those prayers coming. I'd also like to add a prayer request for both my adult sons, that they would hunger and thirst for God and seek Him with all of their hearts and follow after Him. I'm praying for all of you that call in, for all those who are battling cancer, like my pre-Christian friend Sue, and for all of those who are struggling to keep their marriages and relationships alive. I'm praying for all of those who are struggling with depression. And to every prayer request, I say yes and amen. And I thank God for my DAB family. I feel privileged to be a part of this community. Again, thanks for your prayers.
Hey family, it's Jesse again. I don't know how to address this prayer request, and I'll probably end up rambling, but essentially I have an avoidant personality, and it's based on years of trauma and continued trauma that I haven't fully addressed, PTSD, etc. And I've been to mental health professionals on and off for 20 years and just haven't found someone that clicked or made progress. And my discipline is a big issue with it, but it's almost like there's just this mental block when it comes to dealing with difficult emotional situation in interpersonal relationships, like intimate relationships. And I just get like a block. I've been doing some studying on avoidant personality, but you know, my partner I've had on and off for the last few years, you know, it's not officially a relationship, but she's, you know, been such a powerful, godly influence in my life and my kid's life. And I just continue hurting this person because I keep pushing her away. And it has a lot to do with, you know, my shame and my trauma and just having very little self-worth at this point in my life, and not feeling worthy, etc. But again, I would ramble forever because I don't know what's going on. I think there is a spiritual aspect to it, but I really haven't reached out for prayers about this. But man, there's sometimes where I get so overwhelmed by the emotions that I just, you know, it's a fight, flight, or freeze. I freeze and I can't process thoughts. I can't process emotions. And I'm just getting to the point where I can start feeling my emotions, you know. So just prayers that God's going to lead me down a path for clarity, because I mean, it's maddening to keep going through these same cycles, you know. And I don't know that therapy is necessarily just the answer. It's going to be more than that. So just prayers that I get discernment for what I need to do next to fix this. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
Good morning, everyone. It's Susan from Canada, Clydesdale Flower, calling in. And I want to lift up Christy from Kentucky, whose precious Tim is now in the arms of Jesus. So I pray, Lord God, that you would just bless her mightily, fill in that gap that Tim has left, that she may feel full in you, Lord God, and help her to find the strength mentally and physically to keep stepping forward every day. I also want to lift up Sparky's son, who's going to court next week. And I pray, Lord God, that well, you know this boy, and you know what he needs, but we pray that the judge will be soft-hearted toward him. He's made a mistake, and I'm sure he's learned from it, because he's full of repentance and sorrow. So, Lord God, I just pray that you would help this boy recover. He's a young man, actually. Help him to recover from the hurt and the pain that he's suffering and that he's caused. And I pray that you would bless him, Lord God, with a life that follows you every day until he reaches your arms. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi, this is Mary from North Carolina. I was wanting to pray for the October 5th prayer request, every single last one of them just tugged at my heart. And so I'm just praying for everybody that put in a prayer request on October the 5th. From the lady who's having emotional ups and downs and her husband is hurt, to the young man who was affected by the floods in that area in Arizona and had a severe arm injury, to the gentleman wanting to pray for his son who's in a situation where apparently there's a death or something that happened. And Father, I also uplift the lady who just lost her mother and the pain of losing her mother. And Lord, I just ask you to just show up in each one of these situations the way you only know how. Present yourself. Let them experience yourself in the way each one of them needs right now. Father, if they need peace, you show up as that. If they need comfort, you show up as that. If they need healing and supernatural coming into their natural, Lord, you be that for them. Now, Father, we just give you praise and glory. You are the Alpha and Omega. You are the healer, the God that sees us, the God that cares, the God that never leaves. You provide everything, your power, and it reigns over everything. Your love is abounding and your mercy is everlasting. So, Father, we just thank you in the name of Jesus for all that you're doing and will do. Give them peace and comfort and love through your Son, Jesus Christ. May the Holy Spirit give them grace. In Jesus' name again, love you all.
Abba, Father, the day of court for Sparky's son is approaching, and we cry out to you, Abba. We cry out for your grace. We cry out for your mercy to abound during this time. May your wisdom and a spirit of mercy be upon this judge, be upon everyone who's involved in that day. And may you completely just redeem this event and work your redemption during this day of court. Lord God, work your forgiveness. I pray for the heart of Sparky's son. May he just ever increasing, as this day approaches, put his trust in you, and would all fear be cast away. And I pray that just everything that he must be feeling would be replaced with rejoicing through your grace, through your mercy, through your redemption of this event. Abba, Father, I just pray for Sparky's son, for their family, for the family of those who suffered this loss. Surround them as with a shield, Lord God. Surround them with your favor. Just bless them during this time and redeem this time as only you can, Lord God. I pray these things in Jesus' almighty and all-powerful name.
Hi, this is Kyle in Pennsylvania. I've called in a couple times recently asking for prayer for my daughter, who has Down syndrome and a heart condition, and she had a few tests over the summer to see how her heart was doing since her last surgery back in 2023. And I met with her cardiologist a couple weeks ago, and he said that all the tests came back and they were very happy with everything that they saw, and the whole cardiology team at her hospital agreed that she is a good candidate for a full heart reconstruction, which is just a huge miracle in answer to prayers. Back before she was born, we were told with her Down syndrome and the heart condition that she has, they could probably get her to around school age and not really be able to do much else for her because of just the way that the Down syndrome and the heart condition affect each other. And so the fact that here we are now 5 years later and they're saying that they can fully reconstruct her heart and give her a fully functioning heart again is just a miracle and answer to prayers, and just shows how God has really been working in her life and touching her life. The only hiccup with the process is that her heart doctor that she's had since she was 1 month old, her surgeon that she's had, is so good that she's becoming the chief cardiologist at another hospital, and so they needed to push up her next surgery date, so that will be October 16th, Thursday, in a little over a week from now. And so I'm just asking again for prayers for her surgery, for guidance for her surgeon, and that just everything will go well, and that she will just get through the surgery well and heal well. And I just really thank you guys for your prayers. They've been really supportive through all this journey. Thanks.